And welcome, friends, to the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located on the property of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to welcome you to today's Thursday edition of the Grace Hour and hope you'll be able to stay with us over the next 45 minutes or so as we unwrap and unravel a subject that clearly impacts our culture, our world, our country, and even those that may be tuning into the Grace Hour today, and people that are attending church on a regular basis. We're talking about the effects of pornography in our culture today. So we hope that you'll stay with us, and we'll give you some insights and hopefully shed some light and some better understanding on what the nature of this problem is, and then how to address it from a biblical perspective. And if you found yourself in the bondage and the chains of pornography, the question for many is there a way out? Can I be delivered from this? Can this be something that's put in the rearview mirror of my life? So we will answer those questions and more live on the broadcast today. Thanks for joining us. We'll keep the phone lines open as well if you'd like to weigh in and share your thoughts with us. Please feel free to do so. Here are the numbers. Toll-free 800-338-7060 and the local number in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. And we also would like to mention that the chat is available if you'd like to share your comments with us or ask your questions that way as well. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining us in the studio today, Pastor Tom Schaller. We're ready to get things underway for this Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. And Pastor Schaller, as we begin, it's, in one sense, it's unfortunate that we are sitting here in the studio today and we have to talk about this theme and subject, but yet, because it's so prevalent, it's in our culture, it's in our world, people are struggling with it on a consistent basis, that it is something that we need to address. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's dangerous, it's deadly, it destroys relationships. There's so much that we can say about it. We're going to try to wrap things up in the little less than an hour or so that we have together to shed some light on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's when somebody is born again, when you're born again and the Spirit of God is in you, you have the new birth, the seed of the Word of God in your heart, in your life, regeneration, the nature of Christ born in you. Now there's a whole way of looking at these things differently from just, you know, a natural, you know, discussion or perspective. But we are given a new life, and we feel that. We know it. We embrace it. We love it. We love God. God put love in our hearts. And that love is for God and then also people made in God's image. And if you could think of a human being with God's love, then you have respect. You respect their lives, their families. You respect the fact they have a future. You respect the fact they're made in the image of God. They're not an object of, like a predator preying on a victim, but instead to be loved and respected. This is a high thought, but it comes from God to our hearts, and it's how we should look at this subject. We have a sex drive, we have appetites, but we also have, given to us from God through the new birth, we have what C.S. Lewis called prudence, which is another word for common sense or sensibility, and then temperance or self-control. The word temperance got swallowed up in the temperance movement, which was an anti-alcohol movement, abstaining from alcohol. But temperance really is a word for self-control, and it's regarding food, sex, having a good time, hedonism, self-control. And this is a blessing to us from God through the new birth. So this whole conversation has a totally complete new depth to it because of the new birth. I don't think we could talk about it like we are today without understanding what the new birth is.
Amen. Amen. And it, you know, I think a lot of people, they might not even take into consideration some of the spiritual implications when they're dealing with this subject, such as could this lead to a believer doubting their salvation?
Mm-hmm.
Could it impact them in terms of the assurance of that salvation as they walk before God? Could it be that some will fight this particular battle in this particular addiction in their life and come to the place where they say, look, it's going to win out eventually, so I'm going to resign myself to it. And then, you know, kind of turn their backs on their faith. So there are spiritual implications as well. We're going to talk about some of the other implications, but spiritually, this can take a great toll upon believers' lives, can't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. If somebody is battling this addiction, they could believe that they're not saved, and maybe they aren't. I don't know. I mean, God knows them that are his. But if you have victory over it, or you, for the most part, you do, I don't think like totally necessarily, but I'm sure, I mean, that's not our message. We are human beings still. We have a sin nature still. But there are believers that have an amazing victory over this particular problem. Sin habit and this neuroplasticity in the brain where we have habits forming brain patterns of behavior and pleasure that are like written in our physiology. So to have a victory over a lust, a sinful habit, that is repetitive, to have victory, you know, generally, like really it's not bothering you. It is, you for the most part are in control of your heart, your eyes, you know, things that you're fascinated with, that you are drawn to, that you actually, you are not ever a asexual person or a non-sexual person, but you have these words, prudence, you know, sensibility, and also temperance or self-control. And that God is looking not only in the external behavior of a person, but the internal thoughts and patterns of thoughts that are in our minds and hearts.
You mentioned, you know, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, where Paul writes, and he says in verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." You know, there are lots of things that people struggle with in relationship to the will of God, you know, but some things are very clear concerning the will of God. For instance, and for example, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, once again, the will of God clearly stated, abstain from fornication, abstain from sexual sin. Mm. And because there is such guilt and shame attached to this particular sin, it leads people into hiding. They want to conceal it. They want to hide it. They want to give the impression and the idea that they are not dealing with this. This is not a problem in their lives. But you can't heal what you hide, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be dragged, if you will, into the light. How else can it be dealt with if we can't be honest about it and pretend or keep a secret that it's, you know, it's really not in my... Yes, it is. It might be. So let's deal with it, you know. Counseling... Biblical counseling, you know, a godly counselor can help somebody that's struggling with this kind of addiction, can't they?
Yes, yeah. Well, in our world of psychology, they don't follow this teaching, you know, abstain from fornication. But instead, they compare the sexual appetite with a food appetite, and just as we have a appetite for food, a hunger for food, so we have for sex and to divorce those two things, you know, isn't sensible. But we know that you can live without sex, that there are people that make a vow to chastity and they live without it, and they do live very, they do fine. They do fine. I mean, but to eat is required to live. So the parallel isn't the same. And then for, but the problem is that you don't, people don't like to hear it. They don't want to hear about temperance or self-control. And yet in the church is a place to learn it. And in the Christian faith, we have that ability because we are born again. So we are able to like deny things that may bring pleasure, but we deny them for the sake of honoring God and being obedient to God and following God. Now, if I don't, then there is a restoration. There's admitting, confessing my sin, being washed from the sin and the effect of the sin. And this neuroplasticity idea of denying something and then gaining something else, you know, in my heart, in my brain, that I have a creativity, that, you know, sex is a consuming monster in a way. If you keep feeding it, it will become perverted. If you keep feeding it, it will control you. Every waking moment, everything you look at is now seen through this addiction. It becomes an addiction. So if you feed the monster, it becomes a monster. It'll take over your life in ways that God hasn't designed for you. So if you have the new birth and you're able to say no, and I'm honoring God and following God, that you end up, sex is a part of life in marriage for a certain purpose. There is the pleasure and the having a family and so on. But it is not to become a monster that consumes your life. And the development of your heart and mind in new areas without it, you have more, there are studies on it that you are more creative. Men have a better intimacy with their wives without it. Life, even outside of that, there is more energy to live your life. You are creative. Relationships are better with people. And I just think that the world is missing something because they don't have Christ in their life. So they're missing something, and a lot of energy and concentration and focus is consumed on this thing, which is actually very limited. It's stealing from you. It's a monster that is controlling your life and your heart.
Well, friends, you can join us. The phone lines are open, 800-338-7060. And locally, it's 410-483-3700. It goes without saying, Pastor Schaller, that in our culture today, these images are everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're being flooded with them. And, you know, just to go back to what you just said a moment ago about, you know, what nature we're feeding. And because we have this option to feed the new nature. And what we should do is to take every opportunity that's available to us to feed that new nature, whether it's regular church meetings, Bible studies, prayer meetings, just, you know, casual fellowship with other believers, being together with them, you know, iron sharpening iron, Bible college, for instance. All of this contributes to developing these new thought patterns in the soul, mm-hmm. renewing the mind. And that's really what has to happen, because if this is something that we're going to deal with on a superficial level, it's not going to work.
Right.
There's got to be a transformation within the soul, and those thought patterns have to be replaced with new thought patterns that come from God.
Yeah, there's a pleasure in meditating on the Word. The Bible says so. I delight in your word, you know, delighting in God. Psalm 37:4, delighting day and night in the word. Psalm 1. You know, we had a guest here last Tuesday, Mark DeMoss, and words of wisdom and counsel and encouragement. And just, I don't remember the context, but he mentioned, you know, like there are people that are addicted to their phones and pornography connected with your phone, and not to have your phone unaccounted for. Give your phone to your wife that you, when you come home, she can look at your phone, you know, not as a police woman, but as somebody that you willingly are accountable to, and that you're not hiding or you're not deceitful is for our good. And then at night on the bedstand, don't have your phone there, you know, put it away, and make no room in your heart for the flesh. Make no provision for your flesh in Romans 13. I agree. And I would like to add to your list, you have met church services and Bible school and Bible reading and Bible studies and singing, and then also being with friends, being with the guys that you have a good time with. I love to laugh with my friends and my brothers, and do something together by faith, like faith obedience, finding the joy of getting in the car and going somewhere with the brothers on a mission, even locally. You know, we're on a mission. You know, we go 10 miles away, but we're on a mission, and to enjoy that fellowship and be around happy, joyful people that are godly.
Yeah, that whole idea of not making a provision for the flesh is crucial, isn't it? Because with our old sin natures, that's possible. But if we are being controlled by the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to order our thoughts and our steps, it's going to make a big difference in our lives. And again, you know, you mentioned it earlier, perhaps that isn't being done wholesale in a completely, entirely different way. But that's your desire. That's the direction you're moving in. In other words, some of our listeners today, they may be struggling with this, but their attitude is, I'm going to stay in the struggle until I find victory through Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not going to, because I think a lot of people, they give up. They resign themselves to the fact that this is such a part of who I am, I can't shake it. I can't lose it. It's got its grip on me, and I don't think that things could ever change in my life. But that's not true. That's just another part of the lie that some people believe that comes from another kingdom.
Yeah, you know, it's written clearly in the Bible that ask, and you shall receive. Well, what do you mean? Well, you might have images in your mind and heart that you have maybe unexpectedly been exposed to, and those images stick in your mind, but couldn't we ask that God would take them away? And couldn't that happen? And couldn't we, you know, turn to God for help? And couldn't he rewire? I know in Psalm 119, 8 times it says, quicken me according to your word. You know, it's a great reference to life, and that we can actually, we have a resource, and that's God and his holiness and his mind and his heart. And yet sex is a beautiful thing. One brother compared it to like a fireplace, and when the fire is in the fireplace in its particular spot under control, is very different from when the house is on fire. And sex can set your house on fire, and you could be really consumed by it, versus it has its place, it's under control, and it's there for a certain reason. And that's the way to think about it.
Amazing. Because of so much guilt and shame that's attached to someone that is practicing or addicted to pornography, what can we say about the forgiveness that's available to them? Because some people had the idea that I couldn't even come near a church because my soul is so polluted and I'm so filthy. But God offers forgiveness to the greatest of sinners, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. And that forgiveness, and there can even be restoration if we will, you know, honestly bring ourselves before God and allow him to deal with these issues in our lives. The forgiveness can happen, the cleansing can happen, the restoration can all happen. Marriages can be saved, and relationships can be healed if we can give God that opportunity.
Yeah, and it can grow. I think somebody addicted, they've got a real problem, but they can change, and it can grow. They can increase in godliness and increase in their liberty and in their joy and live years without it controlling them. They can live years, decades, with a lot of joy and freedom, and that thing is over and gone. They are not missing out on anything. And actually, like with any addiction, you actually know it's not good for you, but you don't know how to handle it. And like we're like a voice today on this program to say, we understand it, but there really is the new birth and the feeding of that new man and making decisions, and it gets easier. I really think it doesn't mean you're perfect. It just simply means there's a new pattern for living, and it's a real one. Yeah. And I would like to say it must be horrible to walk into a store and any woman you see is seen through the eyes of a lust or history or patterns of thought, you know, like versus seeing a woman as in the image of God, having respect in your heart for her and not seeing her that way as a target or an object of, you know, of something that's not right. Isn't that beautiful? Like that woman as a father and a mother. That woman was once a little girl made in the image of God. She was in school. She's wholesome. She wants that. She wants to be respected. She's made in the image of God. She's going to one day get old. She may be in a nursing home one time. And she's just a human being. And she's not a target, she's not an object for me, but she's made to the glory of God. To be able to think about women in the right way is really a gift from God to our hearts. So how can that happen?
Yeah, except we are thinking with God.
Yeah.
Right? And we get his compassion for people, yeah, rather than objectifying, as you said, women. We start to see them as eternal souls, as you said, made in the image and likeness of God. And then we find a compassion in our hearts that God gives us for them.
Yeah.
And we see them as people that, you know, Christ died for.
Yes.
And shed his blood to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different way of looking at people.
Mm-hmm.
But God gives us that option. As you talked about, you know, feeding this new nature, I just committed to memory years ago a little poem. It goes like this: two natures within my breast. The one is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. But the one I feed will dominate. It does come down to that, doesn't it?
Mm.
Which nature we're going to purposely feed. And if we keep feeding that new nature, and our hearts are focused on the promises of God, on the goodness of God, well, Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says that goodness that we keep hearing about in relationship to God, and he keeps, you know, pouring that into our heart, that leads to repentance, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It leads to our changing our minds and changing the mm-hmm. way we think.
Mm-hmm. You see, God is so good. God is so good. God loves you so much. God is so patient with us. God is so gracious to us, so kind, that we live this life and his grace is around us. His mercies are new every morning. That verse means not like the same mercy every morning, but his mercies are new every morning. imagine who he is and what it means to relate to God. So this hunger for God, desire for God, is really the target, and then all these other appetites are subject to him, and he's able to, you know, like it's just much better to live in liberty, in the spirit, in the joy, in the mind of Christ, and then to share it with each other, and for this to be, you know, a way of life for us.
Well, friends, you can weigh in and share your thoughts with us. The phone lines are open at 800-338-7060 and locally here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. You mentioned a couple of the practical things that we can do to keep our hearts and minds clean and free from this potential addiction. One of them is the phones, and that's such a practical way of dealing. Because, you know, you think about it, maybe 30, 40 years ago, we may be growing up, and what young people are exposed to today on their smartphones is something 30 or 40 years ago, you would have to go in the seediest parts of major cities in this country to even begin to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is readily available to young people today. And I just can't even imagine the struggle that's going on in the hearts and minds of young boys, adolescents, teenagers, young adult men. This is something that they're facing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, beginning with the phones and then to the television. I mean, what kind of television shows are we digesting? What are we looking at? Because I keep thinking of Lot in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and there were two ways that his righteous soul was worn out and worn down, by what he saw and what he heard. And that was enough to wear down his righteous soul.
Oh, wow.
So the eye gate, the ear gate, both of those, you know, that's the way to our souls. And boy, do we have to guard our hearts to what we're looking at.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, what to say about that? Personally, for me, I do like, well, number one, I'm like 71 years old, so my testosterone level is lower than when I was younger. So I think that's one reality. Okay, so another word is physical exercise. To be frank, and to be physical is a blessing, and to expand your energy. You know, it's great to be able to go for a run or lift weights or swim or do something. Some people golf. I think some men, they may golf. You know, it's a diversion. Now, we used to call that, what was the word? We called it, now I don't remember the word. Remember? We learned it. It was sublimation.
Sublimation.
Yep. Okay. We would say, you know, sublimating would be like replacing one appetite with another one, or being distracted on purpose because you're internally bored, so you go shopping, or you are looking for something to do. So you know, when actually God is calling you to himself, instead of sublimating, maybe boredom or laziness, spending money, pornography, drinking, all of these things, you are filling your life with something that's replacing your real calling or your purpose. So I don't mean that. But the other side of that coin, so to speak, is a physical exercise may be a good regimen to do that would help you expend your energy and your masculinity, or your act, you know, a device almost, or a tool that would help you. But you know, external things aren't enough, because it is so internal. My mind, my imagination, fantasy, and those things. So to be serious and willing to sacrifice and deny yourself, it's like a drug. I would like to, that the drug is easy. The drug is like making me feel good. The drug is something that I embracing. And so what am I going to do? You're going to deny yourself. You're going to make a sacrifice. You're going to stop it. You're going to cut it off. And then you might say, yeah, but, you know, it'll come back. It'll come back a weaker. It'll come back. The temptation will be there, but not as strong. Just develop. And this is that scientific term for neuroplasticity, that the brain actually can rewire itself. And you can develop things that you enjoy that are not sinful, that are not monsters that tear your life apart. I mean, pornography tears your life apart. It tears away your relationships. It affects your relationship in your married life. It takes away from you, as we mentioned. So drugs do the same thing. Alcohol does the same thing. How many broken families because of alcohol and because of drugs and so on? So it takes away a piece of you. So why not fight a good fight, be willing to sacrifice something for the immediate pleasure and gain something in the long run that will be much more satisfying and beneficial?
Amen. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians, and he reminds all of us as believers that although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How important are these principles that Paul talks about here in overcoming something like pornography that we're talking about today?
Yeah, well, casting down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have thoughts that are not pure, thoughts that are not right, thoughts that are, and then will I cast them down? Will I move on? Or in the words of Martin Luther, he'd say, birds, I cannot prevent birds from flying over my head, but I can prevent them from making a nest in my hair. So there are things that will come to us and we just let them go. You know, like these thoughts of, they're actually, Hebrews 11 says that they are the sin of pleasure for a season. You know, to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So the pleasure is immediate, but then it's not lasting and it's not true. And it has no real value except it's eating away in my life, you know. But if I cast it down and I replace it with some other thoughts, well, I don't get the pleasure out of it that I would with the other. Yes, but there's another pleasure. It's your sense of self-worth, your dignity as a person, your masculinity, your ability to control your passions and your appetites, or something else you are gaining when you are bringing all your thoughts under control.
Mm. Great thoughts on this Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. And what about an accountability group, Pastor Schaller? Is that effective? Could that be of some help to people? And obviously, if they were going to be a part of an accountability group in this particular area, talking about the subject that we're addressing today, they would have to, you know, these need to be spirit-filled people, people that are committed to see other people succeed spiritually and live their lives of faith pleasing to God. But they can be helpful to have the people, and invite the people into our lives that will ask us the hard questions, that will ask us, what are we struggling with? What tempts you in the greatest way? It could be very healthy to invite those people into our lives because of where it could lead.
Yeah. We have here at the church, like, confidential. I don't know who the people are. I don't care to know. The counselors are very confidential. We welcome people that want to get help. And it's, very personal, very... it's important if somebody says to a friend or a confidant, I'd like to talk to you and I want you to talk to me on a regular basis, weekly, and ask me, how am I doing? And I want to be honest with you. And I just need you to encourage me so that I will deal with this thing and be serious about it. So I have seen it work. I have seen good results. I've seen people actually change from being very discouraged about it to being very encouraged and getting over it. Maybe they're not perfect, but they've come a long way, and they are very happy about the fact that they decided to be accountable to a counselor or to a friend who will just every week give them a phone call or have a talk and just be real serious about it and just say, how are you doing? Have you failed this week? Have you tripped up? Let's talk about that. And that helps them.
Mm. Well, again, we hope that we've been able to shed some light on this theme and subject, friends. There's a lot to say about it, this power, this addiction that it can have on people's lives. I know someone, Pastor Schaller, who's been struggling with alcohol in their lives for decades, and now they found themselves in a program for maybe 12, 13 months, and they're doing very well. But to be in that setting where they're aware of it, they're dealing honestly with it, they're getting the help that they need, it just shows us that, it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, there may be some listening today and said, look, I've tried. This has been a struggle for a good part of my life, and I cannot overcome it. But God says it is possible. I mean, there is forgiveness with God, and he can be trusted. And he can, no matter what the nature of the pit is, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. You can be rescued out of it. You can be delivered. In some cases, it could be in a moment, instantaneously, once and for all. But as we've mentioned a couple of times in the broadcast today, for others, it could be more of a progressive kind of deliverance.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
In other words, don't stop.
Probably it is. Yeah. And not to say it couldn't be immediate, absolutely, but as long as you have a sin nature, it's going to be there, that'll surface sometimes. Not like you have 100% victory the rest of your life all the time, but there is that creeping, and depends on how I manage my heart in it. And there was something you said in the beginning, what you just said, what was that? I forget. Oh, I know, I remember. Somebody losing hope and somebody saying, and they start when they are young, maybe teenager, or even earlier, 12 years old. It's like, that cannot happen. With drinking or pornography and then the perversion possibility, eventually it can be that. I'm just encouraging people, to young people too. Once you open the door, you start moving, and that can take your life. And you live 50 years, 60, 70, 80 years, and to think that your life is consumed with this thing that is actually stealing from you versus this kind of instruction to young people and say, come on, guys and girls, listen, be serious about this. Don't play around with electricity. Don't play around with wild animals that can eat you or snakes. don't play around with drugs and alcohol and guns. Don't play around with girls and guys. These are things that you need to know. Like, you don't play around in the street with fast cars and motorcycles and all this. One day you might get stung, and the whole thing is because you just weren't paying attention. Mm.
Got to guard our hearts. Yeah. These days, now so more like ever before.
Uh-huh.
I remember reading something about how if you've never taken that first drink, if you've never looked at any of these pornographic images, that's territory that you control in your soul. But once you open that door, once that territory falls into the hands of the enemy, for instance, you can get it back, but not without a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a long battle. It's not that it's impossible to get it back, but it's a lot easier to maintain territory that is already in your control than to lose it to an enemy and to try to gain it back.
Okay. Beautiful.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
In other words, if I haven't taken that first drink, I don't even know what it's like. And I've heard about all of the harm and the damage and the destruction that it's done. I'm not going there. If it's true what they say about what pornography does, and it is true, and I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay clear of every image of it as much as is possible in this filthy world that we are detained in. So that's territory in my control. It's much easier to keep that than to see it fall into the hands of an enemy.
Mm. Beautiful.
Well, friends, we're going to wrap it up. We hope that we've helped in some way, some small way, and shed some light on this theme and subject. And again, tomorrow's Grace Hour broadcast will continue to discuss these issues regarding sexual purity and staying clear of the dangers of pornography. But thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you will, again, subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We appreciate you tuning in today, and we hope that you'll join us for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour, coming up in a little less than 24 hours from now. Until then, may God bless you.